Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar, chase your destiny. By Premium Plus Sports, official travel partner of the Tough Man Triathlon Series. By Swim Run USA, epic races and epic places. You can check out all the cool upcoming swim run events at usa-swimrun.com. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation. Last year we sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, the Murnivator, National Geographic Adventurer of the Year. Her new book, which is wonderful, a beautiful work in progress. Myrna Valerio joins us. Myrna, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you for having me on your show.
You know what, Myrna? It is a true honor. So take me back. You grew up in Brooklyn?
I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, back in the mid-70s, early 80s, that kind of thing. And now I live in Georgia.
So growing up in Brooklyn, what were your sports growing up?
I did not play sports before high school because, you know, we were a pretty poor family.
Yeah.
So, I grew up running up and down the block and playing kind of street sports with my cousins and my friends. But then when I went to high school, I actually played field hockey and lacrosse.
Okay. And so, when you were younger, you went to a camp in upstate New York and you learned to swim and hike and camp. Is that when you sort of learned your love of the outdoors?
Yeah, absolutely. When I had the opportunity to go to sleepaway camp for 4 weeks, it was my first time away from home, I fell in love with the outdoors. I fell in love with the challenges, with the people, just being out in nature all the time and always having an excuse to be outside. And that kind of like that changed the trajectory of my life, I think.
So that was always sort of in the background that, hey, I really love the outdoors. And then you started when you're in your 20s, you started running 5Ks. And at the time you were a music and Spanish teacher and still are.
Yes. I don't really teach music anymore, but I am definitely a Spanish teacher and I direct the diversity program at my school. But, when I was in my 20s is when I started doing 5Ks and 10Ks, and I fell in love with it. I really, really loved being in a community of people that had similar goals to me and that wanted to have fun and to be social while running.
So there was a point when your son's dealing with asthma and you're working a lot and stressed, and you got up, what, over 300 pounds?
Yeah, I was, when I moved down to Maryland, I was in a very stressful position. My son was really young. He was sick all the time, which meant I was sick all the time. My husband still lived in New York. And I did gain a lot of weight, mostly from stress and just not working out and not being as active as I had been in the past. And then so after a couple of years, I moved to Maryland. I moved from Maryland to New Jersey, and that's when I had my health scare back in 2008 when I thought I was having a heart attack.
Oh, you thought you were having a heart attack?
Yes. I was driving back from a weekend gig, and I started having chest pains, and it was really scary. I'd never had chest pains before, but I followed up with a cardiologist a week later and after going to the ER and being told I wasn't having a heart attack. He told me that I had to change my life if I wanted to see my son grow up. So I did. That was in 2008.
And how old were you at that time? You're very young to have a doctor say something like that.
Yeah, I was about, I want to say 34.
Wow.
Maybe 33, 34. And I was pretty young. And, I was at a weight that for me was too heavy. And, from having been very active previous to moving down to Maryland, it was like my body changed significantly. And so it sent me a message and I heeded it. And you know, here we are now.
So what's interesting is when you go down that sort of sedentary lifestyle and then things start spiraling, when you're sedentary and you're not eating great, you are tired all the time and you're like, how can I even go for a workout? I feel like crap. And you have a workout and you don't feel good about the results of it. How did you get out of that spiraling downtrend?
Well, you know what? I mean, it did help. You know, I always think of this health scare as a gift because it did wake me up to the fact that I did need to change my lifestyle. But what helped me sort of get out of it, and in addition to being told by the cardiologist that I was going to die.
Yeah, that's never a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew what it was to be an athlete because I had been previously.
Right. Yep.
I knew how it felt to run. I knew that it would take a long time to get my body back into the condition that it had been. And I knew that I was in it for the long run. So I went back, literally I went back on the treadmill the day after that cardiologist appointment. And it was really hard. It was really tough. It was one of the slowest miles I'd ever run. Well, I didn't even run most of it because I couldn't. It was 17 minutes and 45 seconds. And it was painful, both mentally and physically. But I knew that this was the start of something, and I had to start somewhere. So I was disappointed, but I was also motivated to keep going. I was like, well, tomorrow I'm going to do better. The day after tomorrow I'm going to do better. You know, in 3 days I'm going to do even better. And that's what I did. I got back on a treadmill, and I only had a goal of doing a mile. Let me do a mile. Let me do it a little bit faster than I did yesterday. And that grew into 5Ks eventually because I needed a goal. I'm a person that really needs to work towards a goal, whether it's a big goal or a small goal. And so I set that, you know, I let the 5Ks kind of lead me into the next goal. The 5Ks became 10Ks. 10Ks became half marathons. Half marathons became marathons, you know, which are the gateway drugs, obviously, to ultra marathons.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. And so your first marathon, 2011, Marine Corps Marathon?
Yes, Marine Corps Marathon, and it was awesome. It was, the marathon itself was the icing on the cake. I really fell in love with the training, being out there for hours, because I'm super slow. So, but I love, you know, testing my body like that for 5 hours or for 6 hours. And seeing what I could do, in my own body, that was incredible for me.
Yeah, I love your quote, my body is meant for running, just not fast.
And that is the truth.
when did you start a blog?
I started my blog actually when I started training for the Marine Corps Marathon in 2011. I wanted to share my experiences with people, my stories, because I talked about it all the time. You know, runners.
Of
we
course.
Talk about running incessantly.
That's why all the other people who are non-runners hate us.
Exactly. So a friend of mine said, hey, you know, why don't you write a blog? You talk about it all the time. You're writing about it on Facebook all the time. You are a writer, so do a blog. And I didn't really know what a blog was or how to start it, and she helped me out. And this is a friend that actually gave me the name of the Murnovator. And so I started a blog, and, you know, I didn't write in it very often, but when I had a story to tell, I would tell it. And it turned out, you know, in a couple of years, it turned out that people really were interested in my stories and any advice or any wisdom that I had learned for myself. And it was a really cool way to share, the inner workings of Myrna Valerio with my friends and family.
So if Fat Girl Running, how did you come up with the title? Was it? And when you did do Fat Girl Running, were there people who were not nice who responded to your blog?
You know what? So to answer your first question, I came up with a name because I identified as a fat girl who ran or who runs. And so I named it Fat Girl Running, knowing that it would be somewhat controversial and it would ruffle people's feathers.
Right, right.
Because the word fat is very powerful, it's very loaded, and I know that, but I'm okay with the word. And I know that other people aren't okay with it, but you know what? It spurred conversation, it spurred dialogue, and that's kind of what I do in my life anyway. I like to encourage dialogue so we can get everything out into the forefront. I haven't really gotten a whole lot of negative comments on my personal blog. People talk about me all the time
yeah.
on other in other sort of media venues, but I've gotten a couple of things, you know, hurled at me personally. Two or three things on my blog specifically, but more recently I had this email that someone sent to me, like at my work email, that was really hurtful.
Wow. I mean, you know, what's interesting to me is I go back a lot of years in this, and you know, back in the day in the 80s, if you did a marathon in over 4 hours, 15 minutes was the last finisher, right? That's the way it was. Mm-hmm. But what helped running grow was the fact that we became an equal opportunity abuser. We don't care how tall you are, if you're missing a leg, if you're in a wheelchair, come on out and love this great sport. Love feeling right. good about yourself. And it became the reason that Rock and Roll Marathon is 65% right. women, and the reason you're getting 25, 30, 40,000 participants isn't because people are running fast. They're running for themselves, and it's them right. against themselves in the course to change their lives.
Exactly. You know, and people are out there for different reasons. You know,
yes.
some people are there for weight loss. Some people are there for the social aspect. Some people just love running, and they don't care how fast they are.
Yeah.
That's me. And some people want to set really good examples for their children, for other members of their families, their friend circles, that here I am doing something really hard, and I'm never going to be really good at it, but I love doing it, and I'm going to continue doing it. And that's kind of like what I do. Like, I'm not a good runner. I can run for a really long time. I can run walk for days.
Yeah.
I can't do it quickly. But I love it. I love being out there, and it's hard, and I love the challenge of it. And I want to show people that, you know, no matter who you are, you can get, it might not be running, it might not be hiking or backpacking or whatever, but there is, you definitely have the possibility of having a great experience, even if you are not really, really successful at something. You always learn something about yourself.
What's always interesting is becoming a role model, because there's obviously people out there who look at you and go, if this woman is running a marathon or an ultra marathon or a Tough Mudder, if she has the guts to do it, why can't I? And I'm guessing you're the type of person, when you get those type of notes, you help get me off the couch. You help change
I
my
love
life.
Them.
Is that the best?
That I, you know what, and some people say, well, I don't mean to offend you, but I look at you and say to myself, well, if she can do it, then I can do it. That's exactly what I want you to say.
Exactly.
That's, you know, like, because, you know, you look at me and some people automatically think that, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. But when you look at me and see me doing it, or you see me represented on the cover of a magazine, then it becomes believable and it becomes a possibility for you. So that's exactly the kind of comment I want.
So when I see diversity practitioner, what exactly does that mean?
Okay, so I'm the director of equity and inclusion at my school.
Uh-huh.
And what that means is I really try to encourage our entire school community to deal with our cultural intersections as they occur, to be proactive about learning about people's cultural identities, you know, not being homophobic or sexist or racist or, you know, all of the other isms that you can think of.
Exactly.
To really try to live in a harmonious, respectful community. So that includes programming. I bring speakers on campus. I do a lot of the training of faculty members and of students. I lead a couple of student groups. And when situations arise, a lot of people come to me first. And so, you know, I also serve as an advocate for faculty and students when these, like, really tricky situations arise with when people think somebody's being racist or sexist or ageist or ableist to them. I really try to handle it in a way that's beneficial to everybody.
What are some of your favorite running moments?
When I finished my first marathon.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Marine Corps.
My
yep.
favorite. And I'm not a crier, but I definitely cried. when the Marine put my first marathon medal on me,
yes.
2011, that was really special. The first time I did an ultra was really amazing not because I'd finished. I mean, I knew I was going to finish.
Right.
But because as soon as I finished, the race director put my medal on me and said, I'll see you at the 50K next year. And I took that as a directive, and I showed up at the 50K next year to do my first 50K. And so that was really special. And Javelina 100K, you know, I'd never done a distance that far before, and it took me over a day to do it. But I'm always learning about myself, but I learned so much about my own personal grit and my ability to withstand lots of pain, lots of boredom, and lots of fear. So that, you know, that kind of remains at the top. And the last thing I'll say is Trans Rockies this past year.
Yeah.
In August, I didn't finish. It's a 6-day stage race. I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
But that definitely is one of the top experiences of my life. I'm going back again this year. And because I want to finish. But like the views, the people, the entire experience was first class. First class. And I'd do it every year if I could.
What have you learned about yourself through all of this? Because, when I look at what you've accomplished, one, you're out there. What have you run, 9 or 10 marathons at this point, maybe even more?
9 marathons. Boston will be my 10th.
Oh, you run in Boston. That's right. We will be there for Highlands. You'll be joining me at the Highlands booth for breakfast with Bob. We'll be hanging out. I love that. Yeah. So you're somebody who's sponsored by Skirt Sports. Nicole DeBoom's only one of my favorite people on the planet. Mm-hmm. Her husband, Tim, won the Ironman 2 years in a row in 2001, 2002. Meryl.
Yeah, I know both of them.
Yeah, and Women's Running Magazine. I mean, when you first started this, I'm sure you weren't thinking, you know what, I'm going to get myself a running shoe sponsor. I'm going to go get be on a cover of magazines. I'm going to be a model.
Not at all. it was my own personal journey. And, I eventually wanted to share it with people, but not. I was never thinking that it would ever become this big or would become a story that people would want to talk about or want to read my book. But it's all really cool. I feel really honored to be connected to companies like Merrill and Skirt Sports and Swiftwick Socks and to have sponsors. Like, what fat person do you know that doesn't win anything?
See?
A sponsor. It's incredible to me. And I feel so fortunate to be in the position that I am. But, my work is to inspire people and to make the world a better place. I mean, that's what I do in my diversity work. That's what I do as a Spanish teacher. That's what I do, when I'm out there running and people see me and they see this, heavy girl chugging away, and if that makes them say, hey, I want to do that too, then I've done my job. So like the fact that I have a really big platform to do that, that's really incredible to me.
What I like about all of this is the fact that, you're changing lives, right? Changing perceptions. I'm one of the founders of our Challenged Athletes Foundation. And for years, somebody missing a leg or someone in a wheelchair, sponsors would invariably say, why would we sponsor that person? Well, because they stand out, because they don't look like everybody else, because they bring a different, like you mentioned, grit to the table. Mm-hmm. And in this era, it just seems like more companies are understanding that you stand out, that you represent something beyond, I ran a 6-minute mile, right? You represent somebody overcoming and also loving every second of it.
Mm. Yeah, and this is not to say that we don't need like really, really elite athletes, because I think we always need to push the boundaries of what humans can do.
Absolutely.
But I think that at some point we're saturated with those images. And those people need to exist, and we need to champion them and to cheer them on. But what about the rest of us? And also, like, when you think about the bottom line, you think of economics and financials, you've got a lot of other people that want to participate. So if you have somebody like me or somebody who is a wheelchair athlete or somebody who doesn't necessarily fit the norm of, what an athlete is or what people think an athlete is or the perception of what an athlete is, then you are now catering to a whole other set of people that will give you market share. And obviously it's not just about market share, but I mean, that's a huge part of it. And, we have money, we want to spend it. We also want to be included. We love sports. make clothes for us, make shoes for us, like show us in public. Don't be embarrassed by us, because, we're the people that are buying your stuff.
What have been some of your toughest moments as a runner?
I would definitely say my absolute toughest. There are two really tough moments. One was when I got that really nasty email when I was in the middle of a 50K.
You got that in the middle of a race?
Actually, I was at mile, 28.5, 29 of a 50K, so I was almost done.
Yeah.
And I opened my phone, and because it had buzzed, and I was going to take some pictures of me and my friends. And
right.
So I got this email almost at the end of this race, while I was doing a 50K. This email that was accusing me of being a fraud and not really doing what I do, and that was really hurtful.
Not doing what you say you do, and you're basically 30 miles into a 31-mile race.
Yes.
That is the funniest.
Even though intellectually I knew, I'm actually doing it right now, but it's still painful when people are mean like that. It's more painful when they have taken a lot of effort to do things. It was a guy. He looked up my email. He had to dig a little to find my work email.
Right.
And then he went through my work email and sent me this really nasty letter, which really dampened my spirits for a little bit. But my friends, thank God they were there, said, "Put your phone away. This guy's a jerk. Obviously, he doesn't know you. He doesn't know anything about you. And you are doing the thing that he says you are not doing. You're doing it right now. So let's get this finished." So they saved me from myself that moment. But so, yeah, that was definitely really a rude awakening. There were so many there are people out there that, and their only intention is to harm people emotionally.
Yeah. There's
but,
always
you know,
haters.
The community. I'm sorry?
There's always haters.
Always haters. Yeah. You know, and it's still hurtful, you know. So, that ended up being a huge gift to me, because then that's what the REI video was about.
That's right, because they were out there shooting while you got that.
While this happened, the filmmaker saw me post this email on Instagram while she was waiting for me at the finish, and so that became the subject of the film, because we were originally gonna just do something about, you know, a black woman out in the woods.
Black woman running a 50K.
Right. And so, but it turned into this other thing, which, you know, again, ended up being a gift. So that was the first really tough moment. And I've had tough physical moments before, but the one I had at Trans Rockies this year, where I broke down in tears. Mile 6 out of 24.
Right. Yeah.
I was suffering from altitude sickness.
Yeah.
I couldn't eat, I couldn't drink, and I insisted on starting this day. And
this is after how many days into this?
This is day 5.
Wow. So you're 5 days into day what? Five. A 6
5
or 7?
Days into Yeah, it was it, the entire race is 120 miles, but I at that point I was probably 60 something miles in.
Right.
And so you know, I had a really tough time the day before. Actually, I'd finished the stage, but this day, you know, I was really dizzy again. Like, I was having really severe tummy issues, and I had my trekking poles, and I was leaning on them, and I was like swaying back and forth. I couldn't see straight, and I said, I'm fine. And the sleep said, okay, you're fine. Okay. But I had made it 6.2 miles, and I couldn't go on anymore. And I felt really, really awful that I had, you know, I felt like I'd held the sleeps up. The medic van was right behind me. And I felt awful physically. I felt awful spiritually and emotionally. And it was a really low point. But then, after the medic picked me up and drove me to the top of the mountain, you know, I got into somebody's ATV and he drove me around the top of the mountain. He's like, "You're fine. You know, you can come back next year. We'll try again. You're fine. Let's enjoy the views."
What's so great about this stuff is if you don't have a great race one weekend, there's another one next weekend. There's races all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, but in the moment, you can't even think about all that, because you're like, you're feeling so sorry for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know.
Yeah.
So you're running Boston. Will this be your first Boston?
This will be my first Boston, probably my last. Who knows?
No. You are going to love it. Boston is the greatest experience there is. I can't wait. Yeah, you're going to have the best time. So what is your schedule for the rest of the summer?
Oh, man. So I've got Boston. Boston's my first big thing this year. And then 2 weeks after Boston, I've got the North Face Endurance Challenge in D.C., one of my favorite races. I actually broke my ankle there a couple of years ago.
What?
Doing a half marathon. And so this is retribution. I don't even know if I'm going to finish the 50K, but I'm going to go out anyway.
Right.
And I'll do the 50K on Saturday, and then I'll do the 10K. Try to meet up with some of my fans during the 10K the next day. And then I have, in May, I've got the Azores 65K. Really excited about that.
That sounds, then, I don't know why, but Azores sounds hilly. What is that?
It's an island or a bunch of islands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the middle of the Atlantic. So I think it is hilly. And I love hills. I love it.
Do you really?
But I'm, yeah.
Usually a bigger runner, if you're talking hills, it's like, oh, God, last thing I need is that.
I feel like they're good for your legs. They're good for your heart.
Uh-huh.
And they build, there's this whole thing about mental grit. They're hard.
Yes.
In the moment, I might not like hills.
Right.
But when I'm done with them, I'm like, I'm so glad I did that.
You know what you would love? One of these years, we got to get you out here. Have you ever heard of the Catalina Marathon?
Yes, I have.
Ah-ha-ha. 26 miles the next March. Yeah, it's about 4,000 feet of climbing. It's fire road. There's wild buffalo out on the course.
Oh, what?
They take you on a boat to the other side of the island, and you run back. There's, like I said, 23 and a half miles of trails. So you either finish or you become a resident. So it's not like there's much of an option. you do not quit. Is the reality there, because you're going to live there if you don't finish the thing.
It's, I don't know if I'd fun. Mind that.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't mind it. It's a beautiful, it's a wildlife sanctuary that you're running through. And it's
awesome.
There's points where there's ocean on all four sides. And you'll just be like, oh, it's the most beautiful place on the planet. And that was my wife's first marathon, 4,000 feet of climbing. And that year was in a pouring rain. And I'm like, oh, she's going to hate me. And she turned to me at mile 25 and a half. She goes, I can't believe it's almost over already. And I'm like, okay, she's in.
Sounds like a runner to me.
So the kids you teach, are you also coaching as well, a little cross country?
I do. I have like 5 different jobs at school.
I was going to say, it sounds like you are pretty much everything at the school.
I used to teach the choral program and do the musical theater stuff, but I don't do that anymore. I teach Spanish, but I also coach. I'm a head coach of the varsity cross country team. We do okay, and they are fantastic. I've got a really solid core group of runners who just love running and can't get enough of it. And then I got a bunch of people that have never worked out ever before, but they learn to love running, and they eventually start asking me, "Hey, Ms. Valerio, can I come work out with you in the morning? Can I come run with you in the morning? Can you show me a route that'd be good for me to train on?" And so it becomes it's this gateway, this entry into general athleticism that I love about running.
And have you found that since you've started this and started the blog, and are people more accepting now, more caring?
Oh, I think so. I think you still have a lot of people stuck in whatever frame of mind they have about who is an athlete and who's not and who can run and who can't. Those people aren't going to go away. But I think the more and more representation we see of different types of bodies and different types of people doing running and other things, the more it becomes normalized, the more, it's not an anomaly to see somebody like me out on the road doing my training run, So yes, I think there definitely has been a change or a shift in paradigm as far as what people think of runners who aren't super skinny.
Right.
you know, doing the act of running.
Now, are you the type of person, a lot of people feel, hey, I'm running a race, I just run. Or are you a cross-training type of person where you go to the gym and you do other workouts because you can replace some of the... When you run a lot, that's a lot of pounding on the joints.
Yeah,
and you can replace that with using an elliptical. You can replace that by swimming or riding a bike outside. Do you cross-train or are you primarily a runner?
I would say my sport is running.
Yep.
You know, because I train for a specific races. So, like, if I got to do 5 miles, I do 5 miles. If I have to do 15 miles, I do 15 miles. But I definitely think it's important to strength train, and I lift heavy.
Right.
And that helps me in a variety of ways. It helps me in my flexibility. It helps me in my general strength, and it helps me avoid injury.
It does. No question.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And I also do yoga. I love yoga. I have a spin bike that I use sometimes, and I do my own sort of body weight, TRX kind of workout every now and then. Yeah.
Now, are you the type of person that likes to race or likes to train? Usually people are, you know, I train because I love training, and if I didn't race and didn't have that anxiety of getting up early and the rest of it, I'd be fine with that. I mainly race because it's sort of a test and I need to understand. Or people like me, if I didn't have to train and I could just race every weekend, again, someone's giving me a cookie and someone's giving me, you know, giving me a medal, you know, a catered, I call them catered workouts. They're not races. Uh-huh. They're catered workouts. I just go out there. I much rather race than train. Where do you stand on that?
I really love training. I love, because I'm not racing. I love the events.
Yes.
I love the energy.
Yep.
And I love to see, you know, like in a formal way, how I'm doing. Not that I can't, like, you know, have my Garmin.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know, but like, it's a different feeling. There's a different energy when you are racing than when you're training. And I love training. I love being out there for hours. Like, I just ran a 5 miler today. I was supposed to run 10. Don't tell my coach. But, but it was like the best 5 miler ever, especially because I was so tired today. And I said, this is going to be a horrible run. It ended up being amazing. And, you know, like, it just made my afternoon go so much better. And so, like, I love that. And I feel like, you know, races give you one thing, but I think training and the routine of training gives you another.
I also think exactly what you just said, the unknown and the unpredictability. I mean, there's days where you get up and you don't feel good and you have that great run and you're on a high the rest of the day. And then there's other times you're like, oh, I'm tapered. I'm ready. I'm going to have the best race of my life. And you get altitude sickness. And you have to make lemonade out of it and get through it or say, you know what, I'm going to wait for another day. And that's, I think, the unpredictability in, we live in a pretty predictable world. And that unpredictability, I think, is something that comes from sport that maybe not, you don't find anywhere else.
Right. Yeah. And it's great. And I love that. I love because I think it makes you a better person. And I think it makes you appreciate, you know, when you have really hard times and when things don't go the way you planned, I think it makes you appreciate those times when it does.
So cool. So, Myrna, do you have a goal for Boston?
I'd like to do sub-6.
Wow, that's good.
You know, because my PR right now is 6:13:48, I think,
It's 6:14:48, I think. You know what? When you're spouting out the seconds, you know exactly what it is. It's 6:14:48. You know what your time is.
44.
So that'll be the goal. What's going to happen, though? You're going to get to Wellesley, where everybody's taking photos and everything, and you're going to have to be disciplined there and not stop and take photos with all the folks there who are going to want to get photos.
Yeah, I have a problem with taking photos.
Yeah, people want to take photos with the Murnivator, and you're going to be like, oh, I was 6:01:15. Oh, my God, I could have done it. That is very cool. If people want to find out more about the Murnivator, what is the website or your blog?
Sure. I actually do have a website. It's not very good, but it's a website. TheMernovator.com.
Okay.
I am on Instagram and Twitter as at TheMernovator, and then I am on Facebook. I have two public pages, one called Fat Girl Running, all one word, and the other one is the one that my publicist runs, and it's MernaValerio-TheMernovator.
Love it. And the book is called A Beautiful Work in Progress, a memoir by Myrna Valerio, the Mernovator. And I look forward to seeing. So you're down in Georgia. Are you Atlanta?
I am down in Georgia. I am in the mountains, actually, 2 hours north of Atlanta.
Very cool. Good for you. Oh, so you got good training up there.
Oh, it's great. That's how they got me down here.
Is that right? Did they recruit you and say, hey, there's good running training?
They lured me with trails. Yes, yes. They said, we have trails and we have mountains.
So you are you know what's funny? I am such a believer in trails keep you healthy. The street just beats you up. And when you can run trails and how about bark cover trails, soft trails? That's the best.
Yeah, I like all kinds of trails. You know, I like the technical ones, the rocky ones, the well-groomed ones. You know, the ones that aren't groomed at all.
Yes, all of them.
I love them all.
Love it. Hey, Myrna, thank you so much for taking time. Such a pleasure to get to meet you over the phone, and I look forward to seeing you. Gosh, it's just a few weeks when we're in Boston.
Just a few weeks. Yay.
Love it.
Same here.
The Mernovator has been our guest again. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series, toughmantri.com. Actually, Mernovator, have we done triathlon yet?
I've only done indoor triathlons. That's my next year goal, 2019. Watch out.
We will help you with that. That is our background. Yes, we will. We will. I think the Mernovator we need to get you a wetsuit. We need to get you a bike. We need to get you going on that. That will help your running. No question about it. You will love it. Again, brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, Polar, Chase Your Destiny, Premium Plus Sports, official travel partner of the Tough Man Tri Series, Swim Run USA, Epic Races and Epic Places, USA-swimrun.com for all the cool upcoming swim run events. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've now raised over $93 million, sent out over 18,000 grants to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on BabbittVille.com or on iTunes. And until next time, remember, endurance lives here.